Good morning. How are you? Good, good. Good to see you all. Happy Sunday morning from Meadowbrook. Welcome to everybody online. And we've got a good number of our dream team here in the house. I'm here in the house. Isn't it good to be in the house? And I get it like the psalmist David said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so glad that we could be back together again today. We're going to have a great morning. I was not supposed to be here today. I was supposed to still be out, but I begged my surgeon. I had a recheck this week, and I just had things just growing in my heart with the days that we're in that I felt I needed to share. And so I kind of worked out a deal with my surgeon. He said, "You don't yell and scream and spit, do you?" And I said, "No, not normally." And he said, "So none of that, and I can't get too cranked up." He said, "If I would use a stool. So if I get too loud or if I wander away from my stool, if y'all will just kind of help me out a little bit and I'll give you a little update in just a moment." Hey, I think a great way to start today would be to pray. And why don't we do that? Those of you here in the house, let's go ahead and stand up and pray. Those of you at home, pray. Don't just watch this, you know, just right there in your home. We need the presence of God everywhere. You need it in your house. And let's lift our hands to the Lord. Lord, we love you today. Thank you that you are God. You know everything. No one else does. And you're our Heavenly Father, and you're the mighty God. You're our Prince of Peace. You're our wonderful Counselor. You're our anchor. You're our everything. And we seek you today. And you said that if we would seek you, we would find you. And as we gather together in your name, in our homes or here at the church, you promised you'd be right here in the midst of us. And God, we're always better. It's always the best when we're aware of your presence. And we thank you today. Lord, I believe that you want to speak some things into our hearts today. Help me and use me to deliver the message I believe you put in my heart. And I just thank you. We pray peace for our land and help and wisdom and light. And let today, let it start with us. Let it start with us. Do something holy. Do something lasting in our hearts today. And we thank you in advance for that. And Lord, I pray again that when everything is said and done today, we want that you, Jesus, the Lord of our life, the head over all things to this church, may you be pleased, may you be honored, and may these your people, every single one of them, be helped today. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you at home. We're going to have a great morning. Hey, heads up. I might run over just a little bit time-wise today, okay? And I've kind of done that because I've been locked up for a long time, y'all. No, but I just have a real bulk of information that I want to be able to share with you today. So a couple things. I had eye surgery, and then I'm still in the recovery. That surgery went well, and I went, yes, thank God. And I'll show you some scans here in just a moment. And so I still have some recovery to do, but we can tell that the repair was done, and then it's just a process of the nerves and so forth, just kind of catching up. But I had a macular hole, so kind of the lining of the retina, I had a hole, and so that's where your central focus is. So anything I focused on with my right eye, it would either get scrunched up or just wouldn't be there, including things like stop signs, you know, things like that. And I had peripheral vision, and so I was supposed to get surgery. This kind of happened, I guess, in February. We're not even sure how it happened. And then it got put off because of coronavirus and elective surgeries. And I thought, I elect to have mine, but, you know, it got put off. So then I had it, and then I'm in the recovery phase now of that. So let me just show you real quick here. This is the macula, and that was the hole that I had. So that's before, and here it is now. So this is better, okay? In case you're wondering, this one is better. So I had to recheck with my surgeon on Thursday, and he pretty much told me, I kind of begged and we kind of bartered, and so he said I could come in today and just kind of behave myself a little bit. So we'll do that today. Other good news, yesterday morning, Alicia and I, she's known also as Mimi, and I'm also known as Peepaw, we had another grandbaby, and so here's baby Grace. This is our youngest daughter, Greta, so our baby girl had a baby girl, and this is our fourth grandchild, first from John and from Greta, and they live down in Lakeland, and everything just went beautiful, and we just cannot wait to get down and meet Grace Louise Green, and she's a beauty, and that's because it's genetic. And so we are just thrilled. And it occurred to me also, when we first built this building, the first half of this building 24 years ago, the first picture that ever was on the screen, Greta was born on a Thursday. Our first service was on a Sunday in the service. And so the first picture ever on a screen in this building would change the people. It would be me, Alicia, and baby Greta. And so, you know, that's just a beautiful moment. So we're rejoicing like extra big. And in the crazy days that we're in, you know, it's just like our God to just flood us with some joyful events as well. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad y'all are here. I'm so glad all of you are watching with us today. So, hey, everybody, we need to talk. And as we talk today, let me just go ahead and do a little disclaimer. I probably won't say everything just right. I may not get all of this right. I know my heart is right. I know our direction is certainly right. We're living in a day largely fueled by social media. We were talking the other day, sometimes I wish social media had never been thought of. Seriously. I know it has a lot of great advantages, but you know, it can be such a dangerous thing as well. But we're in such a day that if you don't say everything exactly right, all your words get parsed and sliced and diced, and you know, and I just pray that the people of God will give me a little bit of grace today if I don't say everything just exactly right. Nobody wants to live in that world, I'll tell you what, because everybody will end up painting themselves in a corner. So let's all give one another some grace. Amen. Now, I have a lot to share with you today. I have scripted much of it because that will help me to stay in my chair. And also because I want to be able to cover a good amount of information today. We are in some unprecedented and troublesome days. And in days like this, as humans, what we usually seek is relief. We just want relief. We just want something better. We want it back to where I was comfortable. We seek relief. But a lot of times relief is really not what we need. Actually, what we need sometimes is to reorder. You know, if you're walking around and you got a shoe that doesn't fit you right, every now and then you just got to get some relief. You know, it's like you got to lean on somebody or sit on the ground or a bench or somewhere and get that shoe off and get a little relief. But you know what? You need more than relief. You need to reorder some shoes, okay? You need to get something that fits you a little bit better. And this series is actually called Reorder. And it's interesting because I'm a diligent little pastor and I had the whole year sermon series all planned out for 2020. And then you know what happened? 2020. And I mean, it just like changed everything, but the Holy Spirit is so good and you know, blessed are the flexible for they shall not break. And so, you know, God is leading and I love him leading and he is so faithful to lead us in the right way, in the right direction. So, really, it's very fitting today what's going on in our world. We don't just need relief. There's some reorder that must come to our culture, to our nation, to our world. Can I get a good amen at home in here? A good amen? So think about this. We've had a viral pandemic, coronavirus and everything. And then related to that, then an economic pandemic. And now we're in the throes of a cultural pandemic. And then guess what else just started? Hurricane season. So we're kind of like in this metaphorically a perfect storm. And what happens with storms, they usually spawn off some other storms, you know, some twisters and tornadoes. I mean, yesterday, I know my phone at my house alerted me that we had a tornado warning, went from watch to warning. Can I tell you where the real storm is? The real storm is out in the Gulf, if it's not already hit, I think, Louisiana. LSU, got some LSU. So that's going on, but guess what that storm caused? Other things to happen, other things to spin off of that. So with all this viral, economic, cultural, pandemic, all of the things going on in our world, in our culture today, it spins off some other storms, and here's some of the results: fear and damage and confusion and hopelessness. So what has surfaced, and this is not new, but these are new events, what has surfaced, video came forward of the absolute needless killing of George Floyd, a black man while in police custody, and then recent killings of Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and then the subsequent events around this has been like an earthquake. And it shocks and seizes our country, and it forces us all. And this is the thing, it's forcing us all now. This is not new. Hear me, church, this is not new. These are new events. But it forces us all now to face, to pay attention, and to deal with this long, underlying, and painful, and disgraceful problem called racism. I want you to say it. Racism. I don't like saying that. I don't like thinking about that. None of us do. And especially if you have been a victim of racism. And let me just say, I don't know where you grew up. I don't know when you grew up, what your family of origin was like, what your school, your neighborhood, the events of your life. I don't know what those were like. I know what mine were like. And your family of origin largely influences if you're a prejudiced person or not. And we carry these certain kind of things with us. And we've got to do better than just that's where I come from or that's where I was raised. You know, we've got to do better than that. And what I want to do, I'm calling upon you as sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm calling upon you. We must do this God's way. Can I get an amen? Amen. We have to do this in the right way. And we want healing, and we want relief, and we want justice, and we want change. But there's a right way to do this, and I want to share some light. It's like I said, I wasn't supposed to be here today, but this grew and grew and grew in my heart, and I knew. And I want to thank Pastor Sean for speaking last week. I want to thank Pastor Sean. Absolute great job, and he's just an all-star on our team, and he was slated to be on today as well. And I called him early in the week, and I said, hey, buddy, I don't know how hard you're studying yet. I said, but this is growing in my heart, and if my doctor will let me go, I'm going to be there. And so he was certainly gracious to do that. So racism, and here's the thing. This is not a new event. You know, in our country alone, and I know our country's not this old as officially a country, but for 400 years or so on this soil, we've had issues of racism. Now, here's the good thing, if there's any good thing right now, and it says it has everyone's attention. That's a good thing. This is not just isolated just over here or just over there. This has everyone's attention. And it is time. Everybody say, it is time. It is time for me. It is time for you. It is time for you at home. It's time for we. It's time for all of us, that we must in a wholehearted way deal with racism. Can I get an amen today? And I want to say this in a positive way. Everybody just hold on. Just hold on. Because the nation is convulsing right now. Our culture is convulsing now. And it's being fueled by a number of different things. And we'll cut to the very source of it here in just a little bit. But the cries, and this is what I'm going to tell you to hold on about, the cries and the solutions that are being offered are extreme and drastic. And the cries and the outplay and the solutions that are being put forward are extreme and drastic because of the pain, and the problem is extreme and drastic. I think you'll agree. So we tend to, as humans, we tend to react until we know how to respond. Hear that again. We tend to react until we know how to respond. And so I want us to learn how to respond. Even though we're watching the reaction and the convulsion of our entire culture, and there is no institution in our culture that is not being rocked right now. And so we must know, how do we respond? And some of the extreme and drastic measures are, for one out of many, is, well, let's have no more police. Well, that's not going to work in any civilized world. But let me give you a little rationale behind this. You have to realize that a small percentage of bad cops does not represent the vast majority of law enforcement. Okay, a small percentage of bad cops does not represent the vast majority of law enforcement any more than a small majority of violent rioters represents a whole culture. Evil opportunists are always present. How many of you know you go to a picnic and bugs can show up? Okay, how many of you know this? I say it this way: in every field, there are bugs. So in every field, what field are you in? What do you do? What is your job? What is your expertise? I promise you, you might be awesome, but I'm going to tell you what, there's some bugs. There's some bad actors. There's some bad folks that do the same thing that you do. You might be a teacher, but how many of you know there's some horrible teachers? You know, you might be, you know, whatever you do. Hey, guess what? In my field, there's some bad actors. There's some good pastors, and there's some people I want to run them out of town, not our town. But just like, go find something you like. Go do something where you like, because you don't like people. That's obvious. You know, it's important that we realize this, that in every field there are bugs. There's some people can give a good haircut, and then some people can give a bad haircut. Okay? And so it goes with it all. So, you know, these are some of the extreme and drastic measures that people are calling for. But voices are beginning to rise. Voices, sound voices, clarity will start to come. Hope will start to come. Healing will start to come. Justice will start to come. Progress will start to come. Can I get an amen out of any living person here today? Amen. Now, it's like this. Imagine, I know we're in some rainy days too. Imagine if you had a hole in your roof. Well, let's just say it's this room, and we, within the last year, re-roofed this whole place. Imagine you have a hole in your roof, and every time it rained hard, a lot of water came in, and then before you know it, furniture's messed up, carpet's stinky, the flooring's messed up, things are messed up because of that. But then the storm stops, okay? Now, I equate this back to racism. And you could do it really to any other social ill like this. But the storm's over now, and we clean up a little bit, and we're presentable again. I know it needs fixed, but we're okay for now. Well, as long as you have not fixed that roof, guess what? Guess what's going to happen again? Come on, guess what's going to happen again? It's going to rain again. There's going to be a storm again. There'll be more things to happen again. And the rain comes and it's going to do the same damage and maybe even worse, maybe a little less, maybe a whole lot more. But what we tend to do is put it off though and say, well, you know what, the storm's over now and we got it kind of cleaned up, we're presentable again, and so, you know, it'll be okay. And we made a lot of big statements during the storm and during, you know, all of that to say, you know, we're going to fix this thing once and for all. Think of racism. We're going to fix this thing once and for all. How many times? How many times? How many times? How many times? And what I want to say to you is this: fix the roof. It's time. It's time to fix the roof. And sometimes we say, well, it's too much. It's been there too long. We don't have a long ladder. I don't trust roofing contractors, or we don't have the money or the expertise, or I'm afraid of roofs. My pastor fell off a roof. I mean, you know, whatever it would be. But it's time. Come on, everybody, say it's time. It's time to fix the roof. So we as this family, we begin a journey, and we begin renovations, and we begin a marathon if it takes it. This is not like your New Year's resolution. Come on, be honest in church. How many of you have had a New Year's resolution before? And then by February, you forgot all about that. Okay? And this is not going to be that. This won't be all we do, but this will be in all we do. And if you'll look back, we're coming up on 31 years of this church. Look at me. Our message has never changed on this. Our heart has never changed on this. And it's growing, and it's growing even more. But this won't be all we do, but it will be in all we do. And like I said, there's no way to discuss everything today. I'm not going to be able to say everything just right, but I must speak. That's what I know I must do. That's why I'm here today. That's why I pled with my surgeon. That's why I begged my wife. I said, can I be here? That's why I bumped a good leader. And, you know, it's a dangerous thing to discourage a good leader and say, Pastor Sean, he was great, though, because he truly is a good leader. And he knew that I needed to lead today. So I must speak, and I must speak as a child of God. I must speak as a minister of the gospel. I must speak as a preacher of righteousness, and I must speak as a created human being made in the likeness and the image of God. I've got to speak, and I've got to speak to you today, and I pray that you have a heart and you have ears to hear today. Amen. Last week, I wrote a statement, and Pastor Sean read that for you last week. We posted it on social media last Monday. I checked this morning just to make sure it was still up, and I wasn't sure what day it went up. It was Monday, and I noticed just on Facebook, and we've got it on several different things, just on Facebook, over 22,000 people read this last week. So we need to speak, and we need to say things into our culture. So here's where we go. Where do we begin? I mean, this is not a new problem, but all eyes are on this problem now, and where do we begin? What do we do? Where do we begin? And here's where we begin. You ready? You start with you. Come on, say it. You start with you. See, we're very quick to do this. Well, if they would stop this, or she hadn't said that, or this or that. We're always that way. We're always, since the garden, that's been the case where we're gonna point some fingers. Lord, the woman who you sent, you know, we're always pointing elsewhere, but come on, you start with you. Say it one more time. You start with you. You start with you. You deal with you first. And I want to take a few moments and share with how I've dealt with me, because you got to check yourself. You got to check your heart. You got to make sure you're right. This really, in the bottom line, is a heart issue. How are you doing? And I ask, how am I doing on this issue? Because sometimes we think we're good about everything, don't we? How many of you read the Proverbs? All right, if you're not, you should. Okay, today's the 7th. You should read Proverbs 7. There's wisdom loaded up in this. Every day of the month, you got a new proverb, and read those proverbs. If you're not careful, you'll do this. And I catch myself every now and then, because it's a book of comparisons and contrasts, giving wisdom. So it says the wise does this, but the foolish does this. How many of you know that sometimes in our mind we're always the wise? We're never the foolish. Oh, those foolish people, you know. And so often, oh wow, I just did that. Okay, so we've got to make sure, how am I doing? Be honest with ourselves. So I started with me. I checked on me, and I invited the Holy Spirit. I invited the Holy Spirit to check my heart. I mean, I got down. I had tears in my eyes. I wanted to feel this. And I said, in light of this injustice, in light of this long-term ugly blight in our world of racism, God, I want to be right before you. And as I cried out before God, I believe God began to deal with me. And sometimes how we'll deal with our children, I felt he dealt with me in this way, where I feel like the Lord was saying, I've got some things we're going to talk about, but first, can I tell you something really good? And I felt that was it. And then I felt like the Lord put in my heart, he says, I've blessed you. You're blessed. And I thought, oh, I know I'm blessed. God, you've blessed me in so many ways. And then I realized the Holy Spirit was saying, no, regarding this, regarding racism, regarding, you know, matters of the heart concerning this, I have blessed you. And then within moments, and I trust this has maybe happened to you before, it's like the Lord impresses something on you, and then it kind of takes on the form of words, and you have a thought. And a thought came to my mind very clearly that most of the most influential people in my life have been people of color. Let me dial it down even a little bit more. And the Lord said, you're blessed. I have blessed you because most of, and it's way the most, most of the most influential people in your life have been, and let me even dial it in a little bit more, black. And I started to think, and I want to show you some pictures of some of these influential people in my life. I'm going to tell you something. I'm here today. This church is here today because of these people in my life. I grew up in Leesburg, and that's why I'm not good at math. Got to tell the truth in church. And when I was growing up, we were segregated at the beginning of when I started school, and then desegregation, and some of y'all remember all of that going on. And so by the time I hit junior high, we were desegregated, we were integrated, and there was still a lot going on, you know, in our community and communities all over the country. And I decided that I wanted to play trumpet and I wanted to be in the band. And I walked into, actually a few years earlier, I met this man because my brother was a few years ahead of me in school. And I walked into junior high band, and this man right here, Mr. Jesse Holloman, was my band director, and he was my first trumpet teacher. And he loved me, and I knew it. And I'll tell you what, when somebody loves you, you love them. And he cared for me, and he didn't just teach me trumpet, and he just didn't teach me music. He taught me life. He taught me principles. If he liked you, he called you baby. And he'd go, baby. And here's one, a life principle I live by all these years later. Baby, just be able to say I did my part. If you went and tattled to him about somebody else didn't do this or that, he's baby, baby. And I could tell you hours of stories, you know, where he would just let that be known. And he told me too, because sometimes, how many of you ever been goofy and foolish before and hung around the wrong people? I remember him calling me aside, baby, baby. You don't need to be following those people. You are a leader. You are to be a leader, baby. And he called out leadership in me. He called out things in me that impacted my life, and he taught me to play trumpet. I would go in before school. I would go in during lunch. I would go in after school. And then when I got out of junior high, I would go back to the junior high just to be around him. And he'd have me teach some other little guys some trumpet and everything, and I wanted him in my life. I always wanted him in my life, and he's still in my life. He passed in 1994, but the principles that he taught me and the love that he showed me neutralized anything else that was going on in my world at that time. A few years later, 1979, I went on the road with a Christian music group as a trumpet player that I wouldn't have been a trumpet player had it not been for this man. I got to travel the country. I got to travel the world. And the first group that I traveled with was a group called Festival of Praise. We were in 8 churches a week, 46 states in Canada with this group. 8 churches a week. That's one every night plus Sunday morning. Traveling all over doing a concert called a Festival of Praise. It was a powerful time. I was a Christian, but I was kind of nominal. I was just glad to be there. And then I met about a week into it, because we had 50 or 60 people traveling all the time. I met this little tiny black lady from Riverside, California. Her name is Rainy Doc. Her name is no longer Rainy to me. She is my ebony angel. She's been a part of my life for 40-something years. She discipled me. She lives in Dallas, Texas, and she's watching this morning. So thank you, Rainy. Rainy taught me things. She discipled me. She helped me to have a love for the Bible. She helped me to know you can understand the Bible. She helped me to know you have a voice and you could teach that to somebody. She helped me to see what Jesus is like. You know, there's this whole movement of what would Jesus do? Better visualized for me is what would Rainy do? Because she was the most Jesus-like person that I had ever known. And she taught me things such as you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. There's so many things I hear coming out of my mouth that were taught to me by some of these people that I'm pointing out to you today. And so I'm forever grateful. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And then Morris Chapman, or to Alicia and I and our kids, he's Papa Morris. Morris just went home to heaven just a couple weeks ago. Singer, songwriter. He 11 years in a row came and was a part of our church anniversary, and we've had him a number of other times. Morris has one of the sweetest voices this side of heaven. Now he's over in heaven, and he was Papa Morris to us. He's a worshiper. He was a true psalmist, and he was such a godly, godly man. About 27 years ago now, Pastor A.R. Bernard, pastor's Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn, New York. He's been my mentor for over 25 years. He is the smartest man that I know. He's taught me principles. He's always there for me. I've got to travel with him. I've gone to Singapore with him. I've gone some other places. And he's taught me principles that I teach you all the time. And he's such a voice of wisdom. He is the main motivator behind me going back to school and getting my master's and getting my doctorate. He was the motivator on that. And he's also, just a point of information, he's also a survivor of COVID-19 just recently as well. And what a wonderful man. And I could call him anytime that I need to. And then just one of so many, Gerard Montenegro, or G to me. G is... he's pastoring in New Braunfels, Texas, and he's one of my best friends and has been for 20-something years. He and his wife, Ro, and they're pastoring out there, and we're so proud of them. And so I say all this not to say, now listen to me carefully, I don't show you these people in my life to say, see, I've got black friends. That's foolish. I'm sharing these with you because I'm sharing with you how I processed and how the Holy Spirit helped me. He said, I have blessed you so you could be in the place that you are, so you can say what you need to say today, that most of the most influential people in your life have been people of color. And so as I look at all of this, I also know, and as the Holy Spirit kind of said, a few things I want to say to you. But first of all, I want to let you know that I blessed you. But then there are things that the Lord is speaking to me about. And I haven't got it all right. And I know that I have blind spots. And I know that there's probably some things I just don't even look at. But the Lord is dealing with me, and I pray he deals with you too. I pray that he deals with you too. That's a good spot for an amen. I pray that he deals with you too. And there's a whole lot of little things, and there's some big things that I know the Lord would have me to do better. And as far as Meadowbrook Church, here we are 31 years. This beautiful, multicultural, multi-generational church. I love this church, and for 31 years we've celebrated that we have what I call a slice of the city. So whatever ethnicity in our city, if they're in our city, they should be in our church. And so I call a slice of the city. Look at this verse with me in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, he's seen into heaven. Everybody say heaven. I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people. Well, one translation says kindreds and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So there should be within the church a slice of the city, and there should be a slice of heaven in the church. 57 years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, and he repeated this often. He said, the most segregated hour in this nation is Sunday at 11 o'clock. And so church hasn't always gotten this right. We have always endeavored to get this right so that this is not your most segregated hour. This should be your most integrated hour, that we're all together as one family. I celebrate multicultural, multi-generational church. Amen. And as a church, I think we've done well, but we can do better. And there's some things I have in mind that I know we can do, some little things and some big things that we will do. And there's lots of work for all of us to do. I know this, progress is usually preceded by crisis. Did you hear that? Progress is usually preceded by crisis. Guess who taught me that? Pastor A.R. Bernard. There's a principle right there. Progress is usually preceded by crisis. So here's what we do. You start with you. And then you start where you are. So you check yourself out, and then you find out, what am I to do? And the best place to start is right where you are. So here I am. What can I do? Well, what do I do? I'm a pastor. I speak. I try to influence. I try to encourage. I try to inspire. And so I can speak. And I wish I could speak, because I feel I have something to say to the whole wide world, to the whole nation. But they don't want to hear me, and I don't have any way to get to them. But guess what? I got you, baby. And I can speak to you, and I will, and I'm going to speak into our culture and into our community in more and more ways. So here's a few things that I want to say to you, and hang tight with me here. We are not the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, and we are not the world. And we are not the government. And we are not a political party. And we are not a special interest group. We, who are we? We are the church. We're the body of Christ in the earth today. We're the church of the living God in the earth today. And I want to say this to you, and I'll expand on it in a moment. There is unique and exclusive information that is available only to the church. Government can't find it. Special interest groups can't find it. The world can't find it. There are some things that are unique and exclusive information for the church. Now listen, awareness is going to help this issue of racial injustice. Awareness will help. Laws will help. But look at me. But there is no campaign and there is no legislation that will fix this fully. Hear me. Laws will help, awareness will help, campaigns will help, but there's no campaign, there's no effort, there's no legislation that can fix this fully. Why? Because it's a matter of the heart. And you can't legislate the heart. You can't just make everybody feel and do the right thing. It's a matter of the heart. Enter the church. Progress can be made, and I believe it will be made. Things will get better. I truly believe they will, but they'll never be fully fixed because it's a matter of the heart. So the church, enter the church. The church must model what truly can happen. Can I get an amen at anybody today? The church must model what God intends. And hopefully the church can create a tipping point. Hopefully the church, not just our church, churches all over the country can create a tipping point and create momentum. So as I said, there's unique information, exclusive information from the only wise God that is only available to the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says this, that spiritual things, get this now, spiritual things are foolishness to the natural mind. Spiritual things are foolish to the natural mind. I'm going to share with some things with you in just a moment that our world, our government, and beyond would say, that's foolish, that doesn't matter. It's foolish, but it's spiritual. It's spiritual. And that everything begins and ends spiritual. Are you hearing me today? I better go sit down. And it says that the spiritual things cannot be discerned or received by them because they are spiritually discerned and received. So here's what I want to tell you. Now the world would say, yeah, right, but that really doesn't matter. Here we go. Here's the first thing I want to tell you. This is a spiritual battle. Come on, everybody read it. This is a spiritual battle. This is not black versus white. This is not left versus right. This is not this versus that, us versus them. This is not, this is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. There's your spiritual information right there. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, and it's emphasizing the importance, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Did I warn you that I might go over just a few minutes today? You good? Okay. I'll buy you lunch. But not today. Another day, someday. We get to heaven, look me up. I will feed you like never. All right, back here. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, get this line. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Read that line with me. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I'm gonna tell you, any fight that you're in with another person is not with that person. There might be issues, husbands, wives, you and your boss, you and your neighbor. I'm telling you, there might be real issues, there might be real grievances and all of those things, but I'm telling you, who's behind it? This is a spiritual battle. And the struggle we're seeing right now, oh, it looks like it's them versus them. And it looks like it's us versus them. And all of these things. No, this struggle, this battle, this war that's going on is not flesh and blood, but it's against rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because of that, put on, church, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and having, and after you have done everything to stand. Somebody say amen today. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices lest he take advantage of us. Can I break that down for you a little bit more? If you're not ignorant of the devil's devices, he can't take advantage of you. But if our whole culture is ignorant of the devil's devices, he will. And he is taking advantage. But we are not ignorant. And I'll tell you what, by golly, I'm going to do my job and you're going to dig in too. And we're going to know what is what. And let me tell you, as far as this whole horrible problem, 400 years and beyond, the ages, it's old, this problem. Prejudice, racism, injustice. But I'm telling you, we've got to know, this is not just flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. And I tell you what, the enemy's fingerprints are all over this. The enemy's DNA, the enemy's MO, his modus operandi, it's all over this. Just look, I got a short list. Steal, kill, destroy, divide, devalue, confuse, stir hate, hopelessness, hurt. All of those things, that's the enemy. I said, that's the enemy. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came, and that's why he has his church in the earth today too, is to help to destroy the works of the enemy. Amen. Amen. Now I have just a thought for you. This is a thought, and I've really been thinking deep on this, but I think I'm right. And that's why I want to say this to you today. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians. I'll give you a little scripture. 2 Thessalonians, that's hard to say. Chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness, noticed any lawlessness in the earth today? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, notice it's capitalized, who now restrains, will do so. Will what? Will restrain. Restrain what? Lawlessness. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is what? Taken out of the way. Restrain means to hold back. It means to suppress, to confine, to hinder, to prevent from course and cause. So restrain, there is, believe it or not, with all the lawlessness all over our world and all over our country and outbreaks of it, you know, even recently, with all that lawlessness, believe it or not, there's something restraining. And it's not just a something, it's identified as a persona, it's a person. And I believe that he who restrains is the Holy Spirit. But where is the Holy Spirit today? He's in believers, he's in the church. And when Jesus said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, guess what he said about the Holy Spirit? He will come and he will be with you and he will also be what? He will be in you. Come on, church, you hadn't forgot everything. He will be with you and he will be in you. And he will never what? He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave you or forsake you. So when he goes, we go. And there's a time coming, if you know your eschatology, if you know your study of how things are going to play out, there's a time coming where the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn from this earth. And when he goes, we go. You're going to go out of here one way or another. You're either going to die or you're going to fly. And I'm talking about flying right now, okay? It's called the rapture of the church. Now get this though. When he goes, we go. And when he goes and we go, so what is it that is restraining? I'll tell you what's restraining lawlessness right now is the Holy Spirit and the church. That is restraining until he, us, are taken out of the way. Now here's my thought, and I think I'm right. For 3 months, essentially, the church has almost been taken out of the way. Churches have been shut down. You can't meet. You can't meet more than 10 people. You can't do this. And church, because church is creative, because we came from the Creator, has been creative. And we've leveraged technology and we've used everything that we can. But I'm going to tell you what, even with that, and I'm not saying you haven't prayed and you haven't worshiped and you haven't prayed and you haven't worshiped, but none of us have prayed and none of us have worshiped like we do when we come together. And when we come together as a church and we pray and we worship, it's not just about, you know, wow, I like that song. Boy, I feel good. I'm telling you what, this is a spiritual battle and warfare is taking place in our community when we pray and when we worship together as a church. So next week, we're opening up some doors. Unless you're not comfortable coming or you can't come, get yourself here. And when we come, we're not going to pray little mealy mouth prayers, bless my oatmeal, and I hope my Amazon Prime order isn't late this week. No, I'm talking about praying some prayers and worshiping a living God in an exuberant way. You take care of some spiritual business. And largely the church across our whole nation, across our whole world, has kind of been taken out of the way. Oh, we've been praying. I've been praying. I've been studying. We've been worshiping. But I'm telling you what, when we come back, get back in here, and let's do this thing. And online's great, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful we had it. But listen, there ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. We got to get ourselves in here. Can I get an amen out of the church today? I was yelling and walking around. Sorry, doctor. All right, let me go really quick here. Y'all good? At home, I hope you're good. Stay with me just a couple more minutes here. Here's what we do. Pray. Come on, everybody say pray. Pray. I mean pray strong. I mean cry. I mean cry. Cry out in prayer. What's going on? Cry out in prayer. Cry. How long has it been since you really cried and cried out in prayer? I mean, just dig in. I mean, there should be some things you should take on your own. Say, God, this is wrong and it's got to be fixed. And you just need to pray and press in on that. And pray in the strong name of Jesus. I mean, call upon the strong name of Jesus. Because this is a spiritual battle and everything in the spirit realm understands the name of Jesus. And our hope is anchored in Jesus. Our hope is anchored in Jesus. And if Jesus conquered death, Jesus can conquer racism. Amen. And have a biblical worldview. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. 2 weeks ago I did. And I want to refer you back to that message. Reorder Part 2, Biblical Worldview. You need to look at that. It's your prescription. That's your homework, okay? That's your assignment. But go back and listen to that again. We must have and we must operate from a biblical worldview because that's where our answers are. That's where our light is. Hear me out on this. All the news, never you ever heard, so much news. We got reporters everywhere and all of this. Virtually all the news that we're receiving has no light in it. And by that I mean this. There's nothing in their thoughts and in their reporting that there is a living God and that he is able and that he can help. There is no light in it. And so if you're listening to all that all the time, listen, you've got to get the light of God's word. Look at this. God's word, I'll give you the principle here. God's word clearly lights this and all other paths. God's word lights this and all other paths clearly. And not everyone accepts God's word. We talked about that, but you do. You're practicing Christians. And if you're not a practicing Christian, today you start being a practicing Christian. Listen, the days that we're in and the days that are coming, you want to be walking in the light. You want to be walking with God as your shield as practicing Christians. And get this too. Anytime, on any subject, we go to God and his word for counsel, it is going to help us. Be careful. Because God's word will give us light, it will give us answers, it will give a path forward for anything. But if we overly obsess and we overly are digesting all the news and all the facts, realize this, news and facts, it's one thing, but it's truth that sets you free. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're overdosing on news and facts, but it's the truth that sets us free. Bishop T.D. Jakes said last week, we consume more news than we do the word. Everybody say, ouch. So a biblical worldview, we view the world, the beginning of the world, the people of the world, the problems of the world, the governments of the world, the issues of the world, the solutions of the world, and the future of the world. We view everything through God's word. And as I said earlier, and I'll just frame it this way too, all problems and solutions are first of all spiritual. All problems and solutions are first of all spiritual. And so that's why we must pray, and that's why we must have a biblical worldview. It will help us to see that the way to fix this is not that and not that. That may be part of it. That may be part of it. That may be part of it. But I'm telling you, the baseline of all of this is problems and solutions are first of all spiritual. Here's just one thing we can glean out of God's word that will help us to see right. In Genesis chapter 9, look with me. The sons of Noah who came out of the boat. What boat? The ark. Did y'all go to Sunday school? Noah and the ark. Okay. So let's go back. Let's go back before Noah. Everybody came from Adam and Eve. And then things got really, really bad. And God said, you know what? I got to hose the whole place down. And so the flood came and he found a righteous man and he said, build a boat, build an ark. And so Noah went in there with his family. I don't know how all this works and don't ask me all the questions, okay? But everybody went in there and two by two, the animals and all of those things. And then the sons of Noah who came out of the boat with their father were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And I don't remember the order, but there's some study that says one was light, one was dark, one was olive. Go to the next verse. From these three sons of Noah came all the people who now populate the earth. See, the Bible tells us there's one race. There's one race, and we're one race that came from three families. One race, three families. We are all one race. Are y'all hearing me? Let me go a little bit further. Think about our family, our church family. Think about as believers. Here's some of the language you use. Whosoever will, one another, neighbor, brother, sister, the body, the family. Because the ground is level at the cross. The ground is level at the cross. We have endless verses on this. Let me just hit a couple here. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For there is what? No partiality with God. I wish y'all were here. There's no partiality with God. Look quickly in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 12. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Go ahead. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. There is neither Jew. Go ahead to the next one. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Go ahead. What's next? Okay, Colossians. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. It doesn't matter. Go ahead. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, everybody say above all. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Clothe yourself. Put on love. Put on love. Not fake love, but put on like clothing. Clothe yourselves in love. Not your love. Your love is puny and has no endurance. And this is the love of God. And what does the love of God do when we clothe ourselves with God's love? It binds us all together in perfect harmony. And I think harmony is more beautiful than unity. I think probably a better goal is that we would have racial harmony. Because when I'm a musician, my wife's a musician, when you do unison, it's everybody's on the same note, doing the same thing at the same time. And that's not really realistic. It's more beautiful when everybody plays their part all together. And when we time that out together, it's perfect harmony. So that moves us to this. Clothe yourself with love. And so the last thing I want to share with you today is love. Everybody say love. God is love. The great commandment is love. The great command is this. Look at me for this. The great command is this. You love God and you're to love your neighbor. Come on, y'all memorize that one? You love God and you love who? Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is not the person who lives next door to you. Of course, that's your neighbor. But your neighbor, let me tell you who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is anybody within reach of you. It's anyone you can see. It's anyone within reach of you. That's your neighbor. And the Bible tells us to love them. Take some time a little bit later and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first 8 verses. And it's going to tell you how the love of God, if you put on the love of God, how it's going to help you to love everybody, especially your neighbor. Here's just one of the things the love of God does. It never thinks of oneself as better than others. Galatians 5:13 says this, and I'm almost done. Through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Find ways to serve one another. And let me tell you about love, okay? Love always tries to close the distance. Love always tries to close the distance. Don't know if I told you already, but we had a new grandbaby born yesterday. I love her already. I've been praying for her for 9 months in particular. And then when we found out it was a girl, I'm praying for her name every morning and every night, praying for baby Grace, and she's here. Guess what? I love her. I've seen pictures and video, but there is something pulling me. They live in Lakeland. There's something pulling me to Lakeland. I just want to get in range. I just want to see this baby. I just want to smell this baby. I just want to hold this baby. What is it? It's love. It's love. And love closes the distance. When you love somebody, you want to be closer to them. And when we let God's love work in us, I'm telling you what, it helps to close the distance between me and you. Me and you. It helps us to close the distance. Now, real quick, and I'll just share this story, and then we'll finish today. With this eye surgery and all, I didn't yell too much, did I? Okay. With his eye surgery, the surgery was one thing, but then the recovery required 10 days face down because they put a gas bubble in your eye and it has to stay in the right place. So there's a special chair you've got to have. I was allowed to walk around, but you had to keep your head down. Alicia was really good. Head down, babe. You know, I had to drink out of straws. I had to do all kinds of things and I could sit at the table, but I had to keep your head down and, you know, whatever you did, even to put eye drops in, which I have to do multiple times a day, you have to keep your head down and just do a quick one of those. So I've had eye drops more in my beard than in my eye. So I imagine this side's going to start to grow really weird or something. I don't know what's going to happen. But after a while, just your neck and your shoulders, you can just stay in that way. And it, you know, I went down to check the mail because I'm just trying to be normal. I went down to check the mail and my neighbors were out. So I had to explain to them why I wouldn't look at them. And we're talking, and then we got sharing stories, and I'm just talking and loving on my neighbors. We got the best neighbors. And just when I got back to the house, it's like, oh. So just the neck and shoulders, just horrible. So we reached out to a friend of ours. She's actually grown up in the church. She started coming to church way back at the beginning. She was just a teenager. And she's a licensed massage therapist. So we reached out and said, hey, any way you could get me in. So I went, and so I got massaged. I'm feeling a little better. Alicia's my ride because I can't drive yet. So I finish and I paid and I'm leaving, and where her office is, there's several other offices there, and then there's kind of a common little lobby. And as I walked out into the lobby, head down, but as I'm coming out, there's a young black man sitting in a corner on the chair. He's looking down. He's looking on his phone. And as I walk by him, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit just on the inside said, do not just walk past him. Because guess what? He's in reach of me. He is now my what? He's my neighbor. And so I stopped and I said, hey. And he looked up, hey. And I said, how are you doing? I'm doing all right. I said, you okay? He said, I am. And I said, bless you. He said, bless you. And then I walk away, but you know what? God met us right there. I've never seen this guy that I know of ever in my life. But in that moment, because I've said, Holy Spirit, help me. I want to do this right. I want to represent you right. I want to be part of the solution. I want to be a part of the hope and the healing and the progress. And I'm telling you what, God, just in those moments, find ways. Let love close the distance. Let love show you ways that we can intentionally add value and help everybody around us. And realize, look at this through God's eyes and through the light of His Word, not just through all the news and government and everything, because you know what? We're never going to get it all done that way. But I tell you what, if we do it God's way, once and for all, I believe we actually can fix the roof. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? Amen. Hey, real quick before we go, and I want to thank you because I did take a little extra time today, but I felt that we just needed to. The heart is the issue. The heart is the issue. And if you've never received Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer right now that you just, you know, you could take my prayer and make it your prayer and invite Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody here in the church with me today, let's pray this prayer. It's going to be on the screen for you at home and here in the church as well. And let's just make this prayer from our hearts today with me right now. Father God, I come to you now in Jesus' name. Jesus, who loves me, gave himself for me. Lord, I love you and I give myself to you. And I ask you right now, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Savior and be my Lord. And by the blood of Jesus that was shed for me, forgive me right now of every sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me brand new and set me free. And now fill me with your peace, with your joy, with the Holy Spirit, and with the assurance that you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, and if you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, it counts. Please let us know that. You can do that right now online. There's a number of ways that you can just let us know. And we want to encourage you in your walk with God. Thank you again for joining with us. And if at all possible, we're open next week and we want you to come and be a part of this. And I pray this week and I'll be praying for you and I want you to pray. And let's pray for our great nation and let's be a part of letting God's love, wear God's love every day and watch what He will do. Peace to your house. Thanks for being with us today.